A reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, 10th Canto, Chapter 47, Verses 1 to 11, A Song of the Bee. Verse 1 and 2. Shishubhuvacha Tam Vikshikrishnanu Charam Rajastriya Palam Babahum Navakanjalochanam Pitambaram Pushkaramalinam Lasam Mukharavindam Parimishtakundalam Suvismitako Yamapivya Darshana Kutashtakasya Chitavesha Bhushana Itismasava Pariva Purutsukas Tamutamashloka Parambhujashrayam. Shukadeva Goswami said, "The young women of Braj became astonished upon seeing Lord Krishna's servant, who had long arms, whose eyes resembled a newly grown lotus, who wore a yellow garment and a lotus garland, and whose lotus-like face glowed with brightly polished earrings. Who is this handsome man?" the gopis asked. "Where has he come from, and whom does he serve?" "He is wearing Krishna's clothes and ornaments." Saying this, the gopis eagerly crowded around Uddhava, whose shelter was the lotus feet of Lord Uttamashloka Shri Krishna. Mukam karati vacharam pangunam hayate guru vyakipantamaham vande shi guru himitarinam om agyana tiberandasya agyanam shanashalakaya chakshuritam yena tasamai shi guru. So what do you remember from chapter 46? Uddhava goes to Vrindavan. Hari Purush.
Nanda Maharaj expressed so much grief, Uddhava reacted with joy. So it proves that this apparent grief is actually a manifestation of ecstasy.
Okay. Although Nanda Maharaj appeared to be grief-stricken, Uddhava responded with joy, so therefore we understand that it was not really grief or lamentation as we know it, but he was actually in ecstasy. Although he was externally showing the symptoms of great grief. Okay, anything else from chapter 46? Yes.
She does have a very humorous comment.
Really?
Because Krishna has gotten initiation from his spiritual master and the orders, he has become very self-controlled, therefore renounced all sensual indulgences, and therefore he sent his friend instead of him to Vrindavan.
Okay, he's sending his friend instead because he's become very self-controlled after studying in the Gurukul. He's become a brahmachari. Yes, very good. Anything else on chapter 46? Yes. Uddhava saw both the prakat and aprakat lila in Vrindavan. Both were revealed to him. He saw lamentation and he also saw the happiness of when Krishna was actually present. So different verses show different things. Okay? So I'll read a little bit from chapter 46. Actually, there's a very nice explanation in Krishna book by Srila Prabhupada on chapter 46, and it's a nice summary of how Krishna simultaneously leaves Vrindavan and does not leave Vrindavan. So this is from chapter 46 of Krishna book. Nanda Maharaj returned to Vrindavan without Krishna and Balaram. He was accompanied only by the cowherd boys and men. It was certainly a very pathetic scene for the gopis, Mother Yashoda, Srimati Radharani, and all other residents of Vrindavan. Many devotees have tried to make adjustments to Krishna's being away from Vrindavan because, according to expert opinion, Krishna, the original Supreme Personality of Godhead, never goes even a step out of Vrindavan. He always remains there. The explanation of expert devotees is that Krishna was actually not absent from Vrindavan. He came back with Nanda Maharaj as promised. So, but here we'll see in this Song of the Bee that Radharani is going to call Krishna a cheater because he did not come back. So how is it? It appears like he did not come back. And so Prabhupada says that when he failed to come back with Nanda Maharaj, it appeared he either cheated them or could not keep his promise. Expert devotees, however, have decided Krishna was neither a cheater nor a breaker of promises. Krishna, in his original identity, returned with Nanda Maharaj and stayed with the gopis and Mother Yashoda in his bhava expansion. So this we already discussed in a previous chapter, chapter 45, how he actually did return with Nanda Maharaj in his second form. The first form stayed in Mathura, but the first form was not the original Krishna. It was the expansion of Vasudev. So many reasons why he had to stay in Mathura, to protect Vrindavan from the attacks of Dantavakra, Jarasandha, and all these enemies who would certainly come to Vrindavan if Krishna were to stay there. After killing Kamsa, then so many reactions were going to be there, especially Jarasandha. But actually, they were, when Krishna left, as soon as he left, and they were always thinking of Krishna. And Prabhupada calls this Lila Smarana. And they were thinking, here Krishna was playing his flute, here Krishna was tending the cows, here Krishna was lifting Govardhan Hill. This is Lila Smarana. And Srila Prabhupada said this is the process of association with Krishna most recommended by great devotees. Even Lord Chaitanya at Puri was having this Lila Smarana, association with Krishna. And Prabhupada said that also you can remain absorbed in thinking of Krishna by reading Krishna book. He was saying especially this book, Krishna, Teachings of Lord Chaitanya, this is solace for devotees feeling separation from Krishna. So all of us are in separation from Krishna. So therefore we need to learn this process of getting union with Krishna in separation. And we know that the farther away Krishna is for these devotees, the closer he is in their heart. They're always thinking of him. So in Nectar of Devotion, chapter 29, Mother Yashoda was anxiously waiting for Krishna to return from Mathura, and Nanda Maharaj gave her some solace. He said, please don't be worried. There's no need for you to breathe so hotly. I'll go immediately with Akura to the palace of Kamsa and get your son back for you. So this is an example of anxiety and ecstatic love caused by Krishna's awkward position. So the devotees in Vrindavan, while Krishna was in Mathura, they were always worried about Krishna. Before he killed Kamsa, they were worried about how Kamsa might do something to him. So why did he send Uddhava instead of going himself? What was the qualification of Uddhava? Of course, not only was he qualified, but he went there to learn something as well. Although he was the student of Brihaspati, still he had to learn from the gopis how to love Krishna. He thought he was a great scholar, he thought he was a great devotee, but when he went to Braj, he learned his pride was crushed. And he understood, actually, I have so much to learn from these gopis. So some of the qualifications of Uddhava, he was Yadava Pravara, respected by all the Yadus. So whatever he would say, if he saw something in Braj, then they would listen to him and they would believe him. They would have faith in his words. So they would believe him. And he was a great counselor, expert at counseling, so that therefore he would be skillful at counseling the gopis and Nanda Maharaj. He was dear to Krishna. He was Daita. He was Sakha, like Subal, not an ordinary Sakha, but a Sakha who was involved with Krishna's conjugal pastimes, so he could help the gopis also. But unfortunately, there was one scripture one thing he didn't learn from Brihaspati, and that was the Braj Prem. So therefore, Uddhava is being sent to Braj just to learn this Braja Prem from the Brijbasis and especially from the gopis. So Garga Samhita describes that not only did he bring one letter, but he brought several letters. He brought one for Nanda, he brought for Yashoda another, Radharani another letter, for all the gopis, all the gopas, and all the hundreds of groups of gopis, all of them had their own letters from Krishna. So let us see, a lot of these verses are quoted in Bhagavatamrita. So I'll just read a couple of them from Bhagavatamrita. from chapter 46. So verse 3 through 6. So verse 3, dear gentle Uddhava, this is from chapter 46. Go to Braj and give pleasure to our parents and also relieve the gopis suffering in separation from me by giving them my message. So the commentary is quite interesting here. It says that what we say about another person when the person is absent usually indicates our true feelings more reliably than what we say in his presence. So Krishna's confidential statements to Uddhava about the gopis confirm that Krishna does feel indebted to them. Although Radharani is going to challenge him today in her madness and say, you know, he cheated us. His words had no meaning, but actually his words are full of meaning. And we'll see that the message that Uddhava will give, we'll hear that tomorrow, has a double meaning. It seems like to Jnana Bhaktis or to ordinary devotees that it's very philosophical and Jnana, but hidden within those words is a very deep meaning which has relevance for the gopis. So another verse from chapter 46 is verse 5. The minds of those gopis are always absorbed in me. That's tan man manaska mat prana. Their very lives are ever devoted to me. For my sake, they have abandoned everything related to their bodies, including ordinary happiness in this life and religious duties needed for happiness in the next. Therefore, I take it upon myself to sustain those gopis in all circumstances. And so here Krishna is telling Uddhava why the gopis need to be so carefully consoled and why he feels obliged to them and what attributes set them apart as his greatest devotees. They appear as possessed by insanity. They appear on the verge of death away from Krishna. And for his sake, they gave up everything in this life and the next. They sacrificed everything. So why don't they just go to Mathura and see him there? Asks Sanatana Goswami. And the reason is they don't, because Krishna promised, I will return. So their promise, that promise, as well as their concern for Krishna's happiness, keeps them from abandoning their responsibilities to their husbands and children and everything. So Krishna says, I will sustain them. So that means, actually, Uddhava is thinking, well, how am I going to find the gopis? Will they be just wandering in the forest, or will they be at home? And Sanatana Goswami says, no, even though they've given up their dharma, their sri dharma, still they're living with their husbands and their children, and they will be sane. And because Krishna, he says, I will sustain them. Sustain them means he's keeping the breath in the body. Although the breath wants to go out, he's keeping it in the body. So not only there was a question before, what happens, you know, if you renounce your family and all these things, what will happen to them? So Sanatana Goswami says, no need to worry. The families of the gopis might be uncared for, because Krishna is protecting the gopis' families and especially the gopis themselves. He's providing for the needs of the husbands and children, so what to speak of the gopis? So for any devotee who renounces everything, Krishna takes care of the family as well. This is hidden in this verse from Tan Manaska Mat Prana from chapter 46. And there's one more from Bihad Bhagavatamrita, verse 6 of chapter 46. Simply because I've promised to return to them, my fully devoted cowherd girlfriends struggle to maintain their lives somehow or other. So this is Brihad Bhagavatamrita, 3.7.1.42. So here it says, as improbable as it seems to Krishna, these dear gopi girlfriends, including Chandravali, even though on the constant verge of death from pain of separation, manage somehow to survive. So Krishna is hoping that the message that he's going to send with Uddhava will save their lives. And actually it will. The message will save their lives. The only reason they're continuing to breathe and they're keeping their breath in their body is the hope that Krishna will come and return to Vrindavan, return to Braj. So there's a few more comments here on chapter 46 that I'd like to read from Mathura Meets Vrindavan. This book we'll be reading a lot today and tomorrow because it has a very good explanation from Gaur Govind Maharaj of how they're feeling. So one point, part of the pain of separation of Nanda and Yashoda is that they are thinking of Krishna and Balaram at the Gurukul. And thinking of Krishna and Balaram undergoing austerities is very painful for them. They have to collect wood, they have to go begging for alms. And he's saying to Uddhava, my son Krishna eats 10 times in one danda, means 24 minutes. 10 times he eats. So how is he going to fast and go hard, do hard work in the forest? He said, how is this possible? My son in the Gurukul. We have that same feeling sometimes, parents. We don't like to see our son doing austerities in the Gurukul. So such a heavy responsibility. He has to go fetch wood. And this is, my heart is breaking from this Nanda Maharaj. Is giving his feelings here. And so then, Nectar of Devotion, on verse 28, Mother Yashoda, when she was hearing Uddhava describe, and she was, tears were pouring from her eyes and milk flowing from her breasts. And so, in separation from Krishna, it was described, Mother Yashoda was, one time she was just looking at his makeup utensils for his eyes. This is actually in Nectar Devotion, chapter 43. And as soon as she saw his makeup utensils for his eyes, she fell on the ground unconscious, rolling on the ground, and she was slapping herself. So this is ecstatic love and separation. Symptoms such as great anxiety, lamentation, frustration, being stunned, humility, restlessness, madness, and illusion. So what else is happening here? Uddhava, when he came to Braj, his purpose is to give consolation to Nanda and Yashoda. So he is trying his best, and he was talking about Krishna, and he was thinking, actually, you know, how am I going to console them? Because, you know, normally if you have a son in this material world and your son leaves, then you can say, okay, don't cry. But if Krishna, he's the Supreme Lord. So how can I say, don't cry? You should cry more for Krishna. This is what Uddhava was thinking, you know, how can I tell them, don't cry? This is Krishna. Everybody should cry for Krishna. So this is one point here. Also in this, he was saying, he's not your son. He's everyone's son. He is the son, the soul, the father of everyone. And because Uddhava is a pundit, he's seeing through Shastra Gyan. He's trying to explain to them how Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, so you should not think he's your son. How can you just say he's your son? But Nanda Maharaj is blind. He's blind to this Gyana Chakshus. Generally, Gyana is very nice. It's the sun. It's described like the sun. But Nanda Maharaj is blind to this Shastra because he has Krishna Prema, which is much higher knowledge or much higher than the Shastra Gyan. So therefore, Uddhava was not able to pacify Nanda Maharaj. And in fact, he was having a very difficult time. When he tried to tell him that Krishna is God, then Nanda Maharaj is saying, I know Narayan. I have faith there is one Bhagavan. He's the Guru. He's the cause of Purusha and Prakriti, Anadi, Sarveshara. This is Narayan. He's our Shalagram in our house. But because you're such a boy, Uddhava, you're younger than me, I excuse you. I've heard from the mouths of Mahatmas, Narayan is God. So I know the symptoms of Narayan. But these symptoms are not even a single drop in my son, Gopal. You think he's Narayan? Well, I'll tell you something. You don't know him. You don't know my son very well. He's just a simple milk-fed child. He's pure. Narayan is pure, peaceful, sinless. But my Krishna is fickle and greedy and angry. If we don't give him his food on time, he's not up to kama. Narayan is up to kama. But my son, he's not like that. Narayan is shuddha sattva guna maya. He's free from contamination. But my son is a thief and he's a liar. How can you say he's Narayan? This is not possible. There's no similarity. Narayan is satya sankalpa, truthful. But my Krishna is very expert in speaking lies. And Narayan is worshipable, but my son, he carries my shoes on his head. So how can you say he's worshipable by everyone? So this is the feeling of Nanda Maharaj. And Uddhava was thinking, well, maybe if I give them some knowledge, then this will weaken their prema. Just like Vasudeva and Devaki, we were hearing that when they saw how Krishna was killing Kamsa, then that weakened their vatsalya ras. So he thought, okay, let me tell them a little bit about Brahman, how Krishna is Brahman and Paramatma and everything, but it had the opposite effect. That Nanda said, no, you don't understand my son at all. I mean, he may be that for you, but for me, he is simply my child. So it was very difficult for Uddhava to console Nanda Maharaj. And so the gopis, the same thing. It's going to be a big challenge, a bigger challenge for him to console the gopis. Because they have pure love, no gyan, no aishwarya. And here it says that Krishna, although, like the gopis are always thinking of Krishna, Krishna is also always thinking of the gopis. And sometimes he's sleeping, but in his sleep he's calling Radhe, Radhe, Gopi, Gopi. And so his wives are always worried about him, that, oh, what can we do? We are here, why doesn't he just think of us? But Krishna is thinking, as the gopis are thinking of him, then he is thinking of them. So I'll read something from Krishna Sangati from today's verse. So now we are here in chapter 47. And I'll read a little bit from here. This is the Prakat Vrindavan. Vrindavan forest had become a wasteland. Its jasmine buds had fallen like rain. Kadamba blossoms broken to pieces. The cows, their eyes flooded with tears, would not eat grass or lick their calves. Their pathetic laments cracked the 10 directions to pieces. Manasaganga had dried up. Govardhan Hill had shrunk to a height of 100 arms, and the Jamuna had become a mere trickle. Vrindavan was like a volcano. Separation from Krishna was its subterranean force. Shrimati Radharani, the center of that force. Brijbasi is the mountain itself. The gopis, the crater of the mountain. The tears of the Brijbasi is its hot flowing lava. And when that volcano erupted, the volcanic ash of its sorrow was spread throughout the universe. So, what is happening now? This is the Prakat. You didn't hear about that in the last chapter. You heard how everyone was joyful and the cows were running around. But actually, that was the Aprakat Vrindavan. Now, the Prakat Vrindavan is everything. There's thorn trees and everything is a wasteland and everybody's lamenting. So this is the whole purpose of the separation from Krishna is to prove the purity of the love of the Brijbasis and to teach us actually what is real love of Krishna. In Brihadbhagavatamrita, in the first part, Rohini is lamenting this is later on in Dwarka, alas, dear servant of Hari, the residents of Braj have by evil fate been all but slain. They have lost the last trace of good fortune and are drowning in an ocean of gloom. There they suffer, poisoned and scorched in the flames of an underwater fire. So please do not destroy my happiness by reminding me of them. When Vasudev brought me back from Gokul, the cries of Mother Yashoda made even stones shed tears and lightning bolts shatter. But I am not very intelligent. After your Krishna returned from the house of a spiritual master, my sadness drove me to tell him briefly how the Brijbasis were faring. But this did not soften his heart, since all he did in response was send Uddhava, an expert in the clever art of delivering messages. So we heard about the separation of Nanda and Yashoda, and we're going to hear about the separation of the gopis. But the gopas are also in separation from Krishna. So I'll read a little bit to you about what's happening to the gopas while all this is happening. And Krishna, he did send a message to the gopas as well. He did have a message for them, but we don't hear about it in Srimad Bhagavatam. So I'll tell you, this is from Nectar of Devotion, chapter 43. One friend in Dwaraka is addressing Krishna. My dear Krishna, when you left Vrindavan to kill King Kamsa in Mathura, this could be in Mathura also, all the cowherd boys became bereft of their four bhutas, that's earth, water, fire, and space. And the fifth bhuta, air, was flowing very rapidly within their nostrils. So when a person is dead, it is said he's given up five elements, known as bhutas. But in this case, although four elements were already gone, the remaining element, air, was still very prominent and blowing through their nostrils furiously. So another example of the gopas. Due to Krishna's departure from Vrindavan to Mathura, Krishna's dearest cowherd boys felt as mentally light as possible. They were like fragments of cotton, lighter than the air, and were all floating in the air without any shelter. I thought that was kind of interesting. I wonder if that is literally, they were floating in the air. Because their minds were empty, so they were just floating. That's what it's saying here. In other words, the minds of the cowherd boys became almost vacant on account of Krishna's separation. Then another description of them, that they became just like leafless trees on the top of hills, naked, almost naked, skinny and frail, and did not carry any fruits or flowers. So this is the cowherd boys. They appeared to me mad also, sometimes lying on the ground, rolling in the dust, sometimes laughing, sometimes running very swiftly. And also signs of death. They were lying in the valleys, breathing only slightly. Another description, like neglected deities in the house of a professional Brahmin. So these are all descriptions from Nectar of Devotion. So now Uddhava has arrived, and his chariot is outside. It's morning time, and the gopis have come. And from this verse, we can see that they are wondering, who is this beautiful man? But before they saw him, according to Garga Samhita, they started to harass the chariot driver. They were slapping him in the face and say, whose chariot is this? Tell us at once. These gopis were very passionate. But then they saw Uddhava, and they were attracted. And he's just like Krishna, and they knew he's a messenger, so they took him to a banana grove. Prabhupada says in Krishna book that every morning the gopis used to go very dutifully to visit Mother Yashoda early in the morning to try to pay their respects and to remember Krishna. When they see Yashoda and Nanda, they would be very pleased seeing Krishna, remembering Krishna. So, again, in Mathura meets Vrindavan, we have a little bit of background here. Or more details. 179. Oh, this is describing the gopis. They had given up sleeping, eating, no longer putting on ornaments or nice saris, nor taking care of their hair, which was all scattered. They had become very skinny, lying in the dust on the ground. Their hearts were burning in the heat of separation. There is going around Vrindavan asking the trees and creepers, have you seen Shyam? Have you seen Krishna? Is he coming? But then they saw Uddhava. And so now they understood that he is a messenger from Krishna. So verse number 3, bowing their heads in humility, the gopis, duly honored Uddhava with their shy, smiling glances and pleasing words. They took him to a quiet place, seated him comfortably, and began to question him, for they recognized him to be a messenger from Krishna, the master of the goddess Fortune. Purport. The chaste gopis were enlivened to see a messenger had come from Krishna. As Uddhava will discover during his stay in Vrindavan, the unique gopis could not think of anything but their beloved Krishna. So Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur says that Shukadeva at this point is showing some bitterness towards Krishna by calling him the husband of Lakshmi. So he's siding with the gopis. He's on their side that Krishna is useless, he's cheating. So what the gopis are thinking, in order to make Krishna happy, Lakshmi will be coming to Mathura. So what purpose could he have in sending messages to the cowherd women? So that's why in verse 4, the gopi said, "We know you are the personal servant of Krishna, chief of the Yadus, and you have come here on the order of your good master, who desires to give pleasure to his parents." So they say, "Yeah, we know why you came. You came to talk to Nanda and Yashoda. We don't have to ask." Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur says, though Krishna was a cowherd boy, now he's living as king of the Yadus. So with such a big position, how will he personally come here again? So he has sent you, and not for us, but to pacify his mother and father. But what use has he for a father and mother who are cowherd people? Now he's in the big city of Mathura. So reason why he sent you is out of fear of criticism, that he's busy in Mathura while Nanda and Yashoda are crying themselves to death. So why don't you go to Nanda and Yashoda and they will blissfully forget about Krishna receiving you? So in these words, there were hidden implications of criticism. They're falsely praising, but actually there is criticism. So verse 5, we see nothing else he might consider worth remembering in these cow pastures of Braj. Indeed, the bonds of affection for one's family members are difficult to break, even for a sage. So they're saying, yes, he came here because he's so attached to Nanda and Yashoda. So then Vishwanath says, we don't see anyone else worthy of remembrance in Braj, but if he disrespects even his father and mother, Nanda and Yashoda, whom he is remembering, how is it possible we, or persons like us, can have a place in his memory at all? Even those who take sannyas find it hard to give up relationship with father and mother. But Krishna very easily has given up relationship with countless wives of others whom he enjoyed. What severe sense of renunciation Krishna has. So they're saying, look it, he has renounced so many wives. Sannyasi renounces one wife, but he's renouncing other people's wives who he enjoyed. And then they describe what kind of friendship Krishna had with them. Verse 6, the friendship shown toward others, those who are not family members, is motivated by personal interest, and thus it is a pretense that lasts only until one's purpose is served, fulfilled. Such friendship is just like the interest men take in women or bees in flowers. Purport. Sri Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur explains here that attractive women, like flowers, possess beauty, fragrance, tenderness, charm, and so on. And as bees drink only once of a flower's nectar, then leave it for another, fickle men abandon beautiful and devoted women to pursue other pleasures. This tendency is condemned here by the gopis, who gave their hearts completely to Krishna. The gopis wanted only to exhibit their charms for Lord Krishna's pleasure, and in the pain of separation, they questioned the motives of his friendship with them. And so Krishna was with them, but in a moment he just left. So they're thinking, well, was he really our friend? Was this real friendship? Or he just wanted to enjoy and then he left? So these are the transcendental pastimes of the Lord. Both Lord Krishna and the gopis are completely liberated souls engaged in spiritual loving affairs. By contrast, our so-called loving affairs, being perverted reflections of the perfect loving relationships in the spiritual world, are polluted with lust, greed, pride, and so on. Alike all liberated souls, the gopis and certainly Lord Krishna himself are eternally free of these lower qualities, and their intense loving affairs are motivated exclusively by unalloyed devotion. So this verse answers about friendship. Mishina Chakravati Thakur, friendship with those other than parents is motivated. So they're saying, okay, maybe he came here, he's attached, he definitely loves his parents, but I don't think he loves us, because otherwise he would have come himself. Why, he sent a messenger? So must be some motive there. And they continue their discussion by giving examples in verse 7. Prostitutes abandon a penniless man, subjects an incompetent king, students their teacher once they have finished their education, and priests a man who has remunerated them for a sacrifice. So here they're giving some very choice examples of how friendship can be motivated. The prostitutes abandon a penniless man. As long as he has money, they're with him. Subjects an incompetent king. If a king is good and gives you a lot of nice benefits, then good, you stay with him. Students, their teacher, they just want education, and then once it's over, they don't have relationship with the teacher. And priests, a man who has remunerated them for a sacrifice. So then verse 8, birds abandon a tree when its fruits are gone. Guests a house after they have eaten. Animals a forest that has burnt down. And a lover, the woman he has enjoyed, even though she remains attached to him. So Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur explains these two verses, how friendship does not exist without motivation. So this is a description of friendship in this world. Very good description. If a man has money, the prostitute doesn't give up. The priest, the brahmana who does a sacrifice, once he gets his donation, then he may not see the man again. We had that complaint about life membership in India. They go get the donation, and then you don't see them again. After you give them the donation, that's it, goodbye. And so there's a lot of truth in this. The bird gives up the tree once the fruit have rotten. And a paramour gives up a woman, although she is eager for enjoyment. As long as she's young, he doesn't give her up. But when there is no more motivation, then the friendship is finished. So this is the case in this material world, that friendship is very motivated. So verse 9-10, thus speaking, the gopis whose words, bodies and minds were fully dedicated to Lord Govinda put aside all their regular work now that Krishna's messenger, Sri Uddhava, had arrived among them, constantly remembering the activities their beloved Krishna had performed in his childhood and youth. They sang about them and cried without shame. Purport. The word Balyayo here indicates, ever since their childhood, the gopis have been completely in love with Krishna. Thus, even though social custom dictated they not reveal their love to others, they forgot all external considerations and wept openly before Krishna's messenger, Uddhava. So Vishnu Chakravarti gives an interesting comment. During Krishna's baby pastimes, the gopis' prema was pure, nirupadhika, or unconditional. But during Krishna's Kaishar age, their prema was kamaupadhika, motivated by lust. Interesting. But that lust was not for their enjoyment. The lust was for Krishna's, to satisfy Krishna. So Mathura meets Vrindavan. There's a little comment here. So Uddhava, this is explaining how Uddhava is feeling at this point while he's observing the gopis, that Uddhava is seeing what great love these gopis have. I don't have any such love. I was thinking, I'm so great, I'm very dear to Krishna, I'm a great Gyani. But what love they have. So he was really feeling, at this point, Uddhava was feeling his great fortune upon being sent to Vrindavan by Krishna to observe the gopis. So verse 11 begins describing Srimati Radharani. One of the gopis, while meditating on her previous association with Krishna, saw a honeybee before her and imagined it to be a messenger sent by her beloved. Thus she spoke as follows. Purport. Srimati Radharani is referred to in this verse as Kachit, a certain gopi, to establish that this particular gopi is in fact Srimati Radharani. Srila Jiva Goswami quotes the following verses from Agni Purana, so I won't read the Sanskrit. At dawn, the gopis inquire from Krishna's servant Uddhava about the Lord's pastimes and recreation. Only Srimati Radharani, immersed in thought of Krishna, withdrew her interest in the talks. Then Radha, who is worshipped by the residents of her Vrindavan village, spoke up in the midst of her girlfriends. Her words were full of pure transcendental knowledge and expressed the ultimate portion of the Vedas. So all this talk between Krishna and the gopis, Radharani is not there. She's indifferent. She's feeling some nirved or indifference. And she's not participating in these talks. But then she is going to speak the essence. Here it says the essence of the Vedas. So what is the essence of the Vedas? Krishna. So she's going to speak about Krishna very personally. In Bhagavad Gita, Krishna states, Vedaischa savairaham eva vedya. By all the Vedas, I am to be known. To know Krishna is to love Krishna. Thus Radharani, by her own example and words, revealed her supreme love for the Lord. So then Jiva Goswami quotes from Nisinga Tapani Upanishad, all the demigods and all the transcendental philosophers who desire liberation bow down to the Supreme Lord. We should follow suit. So Jiva Goswami, in his commentary, he does say that Radharani has developed a very distinct mood of nirvedam, or loss of interest in what they're talking about. And because of this, she is becoming angry. Now she's showing some anger. And she has so many sanchari bhavs, she's thinking about death. And because she's in this condition, she lost all traces of desire, lost all hope of getting Krishna. Because now she saw that Krishna hasn't come, he sent a messenger instead. She was expecting Krishna, and Krishna didn't come. So in this madness, now she's becoming intolerant of any discussions about Krishna. She doesn't want to hear about Krishna. This is her mood. They're talking about Krishna, they're asking how he is and everything. She doesn't want to hear about it. So she's trying to discuss other topics with her friends. So in Vishnath Chakravarti Thakur says that the seventh stage of prema is Mahabhav. So this is her mood, this is her level, she's in the highest level. But in that Mahabhav, right at this moment, she is becoming angry. And in this anger, she is going to speak to a bumblebee, whom she imagines to be the messenger from Krishna. So in Garga Samhita, description is there that Radharani was in a beautiful cottage by the Jamuna's shore in a banana tree forest, and she was anointed with sandalwood paste and burned by the flames of separation. So she offered Uddhava a seat, and Uddhava started to praise Srimati Radharani and tried to pacify her because he could see her mood. So what did Uddhava say to Radharani first before he's going to say his message? He said to her, "Eternally, Sri Krishna is the perfect supreme personality of Godhead. Eternally, you are his supreme goddess. Eternally, Sri Krishna enjoys transcendental pastimes. Eternally, you enjoy transcendental pastimes with him. Eternally, Krishna is Lord Narayan. Eternally, you are Goddess Lakshmi. Eternally, Krishna is Lord Brahma. Eternally, you are Goddess you are Goddess Saraswati. Eternally, Krishna is Lord Shiva. Eternally, you are Goddess Parvati. Eternally, Krishna is the auspicious Supreme Personality of Godhead, and eternally, you are his greatest devotee. Krishna is the father of the four Kumaras, and you are the auspicious Shruti Shastra. Krishna is Yajna Varaha, who plays on the ocean of devastation. You are the earth goddess. Krishna is Narada, best of divine sages, and you are the Veena in his hand. Krishna is Narayana Rishi, son of Dharma and companion of Nara. You are Shanti, who brings peace to the living entities. Krishna is Lord Kapila. You are the mystic perfection served by the Siddhas. Krishna is Dattatreya, king of the great sages, and you are the perfection of transcendental knowledge eternally. Krishna is Yajna, you are Dakshina. Krishna is Urukrama, you are Jayanti. Eternally, Krishna is Prithu, and you are beautiful Queen Archie. When Krishna appeared as Matsya avatar to kill Shakshura, you became the four Vedas. When during the churning of milk ocean, Krishna appeared as Kurma, you became Vasuki, the auspicious churning rope. When Krishna became Dhanvantari, the physician who cures all suffering, you became his medicine of transcendental nectar. When Krishna became Mohini, you also became Mohini, the beautiful girl that bewilders all the worlds. When Krishna became Nrisinga, you became his man-lion pastimes, which were so kind to his devotee. Pastimes. Yes. When Krishna became Vamana, you became his fame, which is chanted by the devotees. When Krishna became Parashuram, you became the sharpness of his axe. When Krishna became Ram, you became Sita. When Krishna becomes the sage Vyasa and writes Vedanta Sutra, you become his commentary on the Vedas. So what's the commentary? Srimad Bhagavatam. Radharani is the commentary. Srimad Bhagavatam is Radharani. When Krishna becomes Balaram, you become Revati. When Krishna becomes Buddha and bewilders the atheists, you will become intelligence by which he bewilders them. When Krishna becomes Kalki, master of religion, you will become his pious deeds. O moon-faced Radha, Shri Krishna is a moon and you are his moonlight eternally. Shri Krishna is a sun and you are his sunlight eternally. Krishna is Indra and you are his queen, Sachi, eternally. Krishna is a fire and you are his splendid light. Krishna is Kuvera and you are the queen of his treasury. Krishna is the ocean of milk and you are the silk-white waves on that ocean. Whenever Krishna assumes another form, you follow him and assume the form of his companion. When he is universal form or impersonal Brahman, you also become universal form or impersonal Brahman. So there is no void in creation. Radharani is there, and Krishna is there. Now he's the son of Braja's king, so now you are born as Rishabhanu's daughter. With your charming pastimes, you bring peace and happiness to your devotees. Krishna is the perfect supreme personality of Godhead, and you are his pastimes and the potency that fulfills his desires. I offer my respectful obeisances to you, Shri Shri Radha and Krishna, the supreme whose forms are eternal. O Radha, please take this letter. Don't lament. Krishna said, soon I will finish my duties here, then I will return. Please also take these 100 very auspicious letters, one for each of the 100 groups of beautiful girls in Braj.
So where is this from?
Garga Samhita. Garga Samhita.
Which page?
Oh, no page number. I took it from computer. Chapter 15. So you have to check all the cantos for a chapter 15. Because I don't. There's a lot of cantos. I don't remember. But it's in chapter 15 of one of them. But it's beautiful. Beautiful glorification of Radha and Krishna. That wherever Krishna goes, Radha is there. So now in separation from Krishna, Radharani is there, and where is Krishna? Who can tell me where is Krishna?
No.
No. At this point in the Leela.
He's
the bumblebee, okay. He's the bumblebee, that's true. Well, the bumblebee hasn't really come yet. Before the bumblebee comes, then where is Krishna? In her heart. In her heart, yes. So, Uddhava met Radharani. She was in a dying condition, but death was not coming. So she had developed some anger. And in her anger, she is going to speak harsh words of love to Krishna. And this is known as Bhramara Gita, the song of the bumblebee. And so when, okay, so now we will see. Again, Uddhava is very confused how he's going to console the gopis, because he should tell them, don't cry, why are you crying? But actually, they're crying for Krishna. And so how can I tell them not to cry? Again, it's going to be a very, very difficult task for Uddhava to console the gopis. Okay, so we will read that verse next. So at this point, when the bumblebee comes, then Uddhava is standing near Radharani and he's hearing everything, but she cannot see Uddhava, she only sees the bumblebee. So this is what is going to happen at this point. So I'll continue reading and then we'll stop around 12 o'clock for questions. So there's a few nice things from Nectar of Devotion about Radharani in separation from Krishna. What is her mood? And this is from Nectar of Devotion, chapter 29, quoting Dana Keli Kaumudi, that Radharani is telling her friend, if I cannot hear the glorious activities of Krishna, it is better for me to become deaf. And because I'm now unable to see him, it would be good for me to become a blind woman. So this is disappointment due to separation from Krishna. Another thing that's happening with Radharani, since Krishna left, she's pressing her head on one of her hands and constantly shedding tears. This is chapter 44. Her face is always wet, so therefore she cannot sleep even for a moment. So since Krishna left, Radharani has not gotten a moment of sleep. She's always awake. But then, in the Prahlad Samhita, Uddhava tells them, the Supreme Lord Govinda is pierced by the arrows of Cupid, always thinking of you gopis. He's not even accepting his regular lunch, nor is he getting any proper rest. And so it's described that by Krishna himself, Radharani has become peace personified for me. Because of her, I now go without sleep. I stare constantly without blinking my eyes, and I'm always in a meditative mood. Because of her, I've made my home in the cave of a mountain. And so both on both sides, Krishna and Radharani both, they're both feeling the same separation, actually. Radharani's feeling separation from Krishna, and Krishna's feeling separation from Radharani and the gopis. So we'll read verse 12. Radharani is speaking now. And she is chastising the bumblebee. Oh, honeybee, oh, friend of a cheater, don't touch my feet with your whiskers, which are smeared with the kumkum that rubbed onto Krishna's garland when it was crushed by the breasts of a rival lover. Let Krishna satisfy the women of Mathura. One who sends a messenger like you will certainly be ridiculed in the Yadus assembly. Purport, Radharani indirectly chastised Krishna by chastising the bumblebee, which he took for his messenger. She addressed the bumblebee as Madhu Pa, one who drinks the nectar of flowers, and she addressed Krishna as Madhu Pati, Lord of Madhu. Shivishna Chakravati points out that this and the following nine verses exemplify 10 kinds of impulsive speech spoken by a lover. This verse is Prajalpa. This is another meaning of Prajalpa. Prajalpa is speech that denigrates the tactlessness of one's lover with expressions of disrespect. It is spoken in a mood of envy, jealousy, and pride. Shivishanath Chakravati points out the word kitava bando expresses envy, the phrase from sapatya to na, jealousy, the phrase maspisha angrim, pride, and the phrase from vahatu to prasadam, disrespect. While the phrase from Yadu Sadasi to the end of the verse decries Krishna's tactless treatment of Radharani. So Prabhupada, in Krishna book, he says it very, very sweetly. So I'll read from Krishna book how Prabhupada describes. Bumblebee, you are accustomed to drinking honey from flower to flower, and therefore you have preferred to be a messenger of Krishna, who is of the same nature as you. So she's accusing the bumblebee of being like Krishna. I can see on your mustache the red powder of kumkum, which was smeared on the flower garland of Krishna, while it was pressed against the breast of some other girl who is my competitor. You feel very proud because of having touched that garland, and your mustache have become reddish. You have come here carrying a message for me, anxious to touch my feet. But, my dear bumblebee, let me warn you, don't touch me. I don't want any messages from your unreliable master. You are the unreliable servant of an unreliable master. It may be Srimati Radharani purposely addressed the bumblebee sarcastically in order to indirectly criticize the messenger, Uddhava. It's described that actually Uddhava was trying to come a little close to Radharani, and he really wanted to offer obeisances to her feet. But she kind of read his mind, and she was speaking to the bumblebee and speaking to him indirectly. She was seeing, Prabhupada says, she saw Uddhava as being equal to Krishna. So indirectly, she indicated Uddhava was as unreliable as Krishna himself. And she wanted to give specific reason why she was dissatisfied with Krishna and his messengers. So Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in Chaitanya Charitamrita was also in this mood, talking like a madman. And Prabhupada says, well, there's a verse actually, Krishnadas Kavira says that you should hear these pastimes, but do not put forward mundane arguments, just hear with faith. All you have to do is just hear. And the evidence of the truth of these talks is found here in the song of the bumblebee. So Lord Chaitanya was also in this mood, but we cannot understand why he was in this mood of Radharani, why she was chastising Krishna. So Vishnu Chakravarti enlightens us a little bit about why she's calling him a cheater, Kitava Bandho. First of all, you said in chapter 32, after he came back from the Rasa dance, he said to the gopis, for my sake you've given up everything and I've given you up. Please forgive me for this injustice. It is impossible for me to repay you. So that was the one thing he said, I cannot repay you. So that's cheating words, because now you've left again. And then the second cheating was when you were on the chariot of Akrura and you said, I will return. So two kinds of cheating. I'm coming quickly from Mathura, just a few days. So no. So that's why he is called a cheater. So what else is happening at this point? The bee is trying to touch Radharani's feet. And she's saying, no, you're a friend of the cheater. You're playing the role of messenger. Don't touch my feet. And the bee started buzzing, and so she heard what the bee was saying. The bee was saying, what is this? Will you not let me offer obeisances to you? So the answer is, Radharani says, no, you're Madhupa. You're drinking liquor. You're intoxicated. And if you're drinking liquor and you touch my feet will become impure. If you want to do obeisances, go far away and you can offer obeisances to me. And don't come near me. So the bee said, but why do you accuse me of being drunk when I have no fault? And so Radharani says, no, this is not an accusation, because your whiskers are tinged with a kumkum of the garland of another woman. So, because you must be drunk, because you wouldn't come here in that state with the kumkum on you and show yourself to me if you weren't drunk, because you know I would be angry if I see you like this. Actually, it's not kumkum, it's just the color of the bee. But she's seeing, reading things into it. So any intelligent person, she says, well, see, if I see you like this, drunk, with all this kumkum on you, it's the color of the bee. She says, if I see you like this, and of course I'm going to be more angry, so how will I listen to your message? So this is Radharani's mad speech to the bumblebee. And Vishnu Chakravarti analyzes it. The word cheater arises from her indignation, asuya. The word co-wife arises from jealousy, irsya. Do not touch my feet arises from pride, mada. Let him deliver to them comes from her desire to disrespect, avadhirana. Scorned in the assembly of Yadus arises from the urge to spit out harsh words. So this is Prajalpa. All these things together. So this is not our Prajalpa. This is Radharani's different kind of Prajalpa and madness. So very difficult to understand. So if you look at Krishna, if you look at his pastimes externally, that is called apara vichar. Apparently, Krishna is very merciless. He's very merciless. He is duplicitous. He's a cheater. But actually, we hear Krishna has all good qualities. So we have to understand, you have to understand the tattva. Otherwise, if you just see externally, apparently you'll find fault with Krishna. So you might think, well, Radharani is seeing externally. Is she just finding fault with Krishna? No. Because she's in a mood of great love, and she's speaking these words out of love for Krishna. Now, if we say these things, it won't be out of love. We'll actually be in a critical mood. But Radharani, although it seems to be that she is speaking very critically, it's love, actually. So we cannot understand. Here, Gaur Govind Maharaj gives an example how we cannot understand Lord Vishnu, Lord Krishna. That there is a verse where it describes when Hiranyakashipu was chasing Vishnu out of anxiety, Vivigna Cheta, he entered the nostrils of Hiranyakashipu. So actually it wasn't out of anxiety, but out of affection and sympathy. How can I do good to him? So the same thing. We are thinking, oh, Krishna is merciless, he left the gopis, he's making them suffer. But actually, he's thinking to do good for them. So in this mood, we have to hear these pastimes of Krishna in separation from the gopis, and Radharani also seemingly criticizing Krishna. So here again, the drunkenness of the bumblebee. And she's saying, you should just go back to Mathura. There's many ladies there. If somebody gets angry, you can go to another one. Why have you come here? This is also part of her prajalpa. So from Chaitanya Charitamrita it says, how has Krishna offended the gopis so they want to reject him from their minds? The answer is given in verse 13. What is the offense that Krishna has done? Translation, after making us drink the enchanting nectar of his lips only once, Krishna suddenly abandoned us, just as you might quickly abandon some flowers. How is it then that Goddess Padma willingly serves his lotus feet? Alas, the answer must certainly be that her mind has been stolen away by his deceitful words. So what is the offense of Krishna that he's enjoyed only once? Now, I think this is an understatement. It seems that he has been enjoying with them many, many nights. Purport. In this verse, Srimati Radharani continues to compare Sri Krishna to the bumblebee, and in her distress she states, the reason the goddess of fortune is constantly devoted to his lotus feet must be that she has been fooled by Krishna's promises. So this is Parijalpa, according to Vishwanath Chakravarti, is described in Ujjala Nila Mani. Parijalpa is that speech which, through various devices, shows one's own cleverness by exposing the mercilessness, duplicity, unreliability, and so on, of one's Lord. So Parijalpa. Radharani is showing her cleverness by exposing Krishna's mercilessness, duplicity, and unreliability. Prabhupada says in Krishna book, she addressed the bumblebee, your master, Krishna, is exactly of your quality. You sit down on a flower, and after tasting a little honey, you immediately fly away and sit on another flower and taste. Similarly, only once did your master Krishna give me the chance to taste the touch of his lips, and then he left me altogether. I know also, the goddess of fortune, Lakshmi, who is always in the midst of the lotus flower, is constantly engaged in Krishna's service. But I do not know how she has become so captivated by Krishna and why She is so much attached to Krishna, although she knows his actual character. Maybe she's so much captivated by Krishna's sweet words that she cannot understand his real character. As far as we are concerned, we are more intelligent than the goddess of fortune. We're not going to be cheated anymore by Krishna or his messengers. So here she's exposing Krishna, how he's merciless, how he's unreliable. According to expert opinion, Lakshmi, the goddess of fortune, is a subordinate expansion of Srimati Radharani. As Krishna has numerous expansions of Vishnumurti, so his pleasure potency, Radharani, also has innumerable expansions of goddesses of fortune. Therefore, the goddess of fortune, Lakshmiji, is always eager to be elevated to the position of the gopis. So although she's criticizing Lakshmi, you know, what does she see in that Krishna? We know what he's like. Why is she serving him still? Although she's criticizing, still, this is out of love. Parijalpa. Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur says that the bee seemed to say, "This yellow color is my natural color as a bee. It's not the kumkum from Krishna's alliance with another woman. What offense has Krishna committed? He thinks only of you and does not see another woman in Mathura, even while dreaming. Why have you become so angry?" So this is the reply of the bee. And so therefore she speaks that verse. No, he promised. He promised us and he enjoyed us and he just left, only giving us one time the touch of his lips. So the analysis of Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur. How do you see Krishna's deceptive nature? Radharani says, by making us drink, we lose our intelligence. So Krishna deceives us by making us drink, and then he takes our intelligence away, and then he leaves us, gives us up. He instantly gives us up, indicates his mercilessness. Like you, the bee, indicates Krishna's fickleness. By revealing Lakshmi as simple, Radha indicates her own cleverness. All these words indicate Krishna's ungrateful nature and lack of love for them. So this is Parijalpa. So we'll read a little bit more from this book. Lakshmi has no intelligence. So the bee was humming, and Radharani was hearing the bee. And the bee was saying a certain verse from the night of the Rasa Leela. And it was about Lakshmi. Jayatite tikam janamana vacha shayata indira shashvaratrahi daiti dishitam dikshitavakas traititasavas tvam vichinvate. The gopi said, "O beloved, your birth in the land of Braj has made it exceedingly glorious. Thus Indira, the goddess of fortune, always resides here. It is only for your sake that we, your devoted servants, maintain our lives. We have been searching everywhere for you, so please show yourself to us." So Uddhava is thinking, well, Radharani is describing how Lakshmi is serving my master, but if he has so many faults, how can Lakshmi serve him? So that's the question. Okay, so Krishna has all, he's deceptive, he's cheating, he's all this, and why is Lakshmi serving him? So Lakshmi says, "All right, I'll give you the answer. Lakshmi has no intelligence. Hrita cheta hyutama shoka jalpai. She lost her intelligence by hearing the sweet words of Krishna, his clever words." But then Uddhava may say, "No, she's not an ordinary woman who can be enchanted." Radharani says, "You think Lakshmi is Ishwari, and so she's very intelligent, and we're just cowherd ladies, so we have no intelligence." No, that's not true. We're more intelligent than your Lakshmi. We know the nature of your master. We know Krishna. She doesn't know what he's like. He's Madhupati. We know you're Madhupati. So I'll tell you something for your own good. Don't keep friendship with this Kapati Krishna. Because if you do, you'll have to suffer as we are suffering. So Radharani is giving advice to the bee that you're also foolish. You're keeping friendship with this cheater. So this verse, again, Parijalpa, ni dayata, mercilessness, shatya, duplicity, and chapalya, unreliability. So that we heard already. So I think I will stop here for now and see if there are any questions or comments. Yes.
How is it that you're saying that Krishna is feeling the same thing on this side?
Yes, he's feeling separation.
But the
right, they cannot function.
But Krishna is yet a
screen. Yeah, he's not married yet. Mother and father. How can we say Krishna is feeling the same separation because he doesn't have all these symptoms as the gopis have? Well, he has them at night. So half the day, of course, he goes on with his duties. But even during the day, it's not so easy. But the symptoms come out at night when he's asleep because he goes to them. He actually goes in. He spends his nights in Vrindavan with the gopis. And then he will, sometimes especially after he goes to Dwaraka, then even in the day, the queens will say, what do you mean only at night? Even in the day he's like this, sometimes. And so he's also having these symptoms, but he's not manifesting them.
He's concealing them better.
Yeah, he's not manifesting so much as they are. But that's where his mind is, that's where his heart is. Even his Vasudeva expansion in Mathura, that's where his heart is. His heart is in Braj. Any other questions or comments? It's a difficult thing to talk about, actually. It's way beyond our level of realization. But we can simply hear and appreciate and understand that this is the highest love. And this is very pleasing to Krishna. Yeah, some commentator has said that he left Mathura in the form of the bumblebee. And he is that bumblebee. So he's hearing everything, actually, that Radharani is saying. He's trying to touch her feet. And she also sees, this is the messenger. She doesn't see him as Krishna. She sees as a messenger from Krishna. But Krishna did want to come and relish Radharani's words. So, yes, Lila Shuka.
In the whole chapter, you find these analogies in Parijalpa,
Parijalpa, Prajalpa, Vijalpa.
It's mentioned in Sri Utspala Nilamani.
Right.
But I was thinking, like, in the drama, you find also this analysis of Udipans and Staibhav, and in it existed already. It's described by Bharat, the
Bardrash.
Art of drama. That and we find that there's a comparison between the meadows described here in the 10th canto.
Mm-hmm.
I was thinking this Parijalpa, Sujalpa and so on, is it Rupa Goswami or Sanatana Goswami who gave these names, or is this something that already existed before so many Vedas and they just applied it?
Well, you have to trace where did Rupa Goswami get his knowledge? So if we read Chaitanya Charitamrita, we find that he sat with Lord Chaitanya for 10 days, was it, at Prayag? And Lord Chaitanya gave him this knowledge. As far as I understand, he heard it from Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and then he was able to write all these books. And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu empowered him. He actually also appeared in his heart and gave him the knowledge and the ability to write. besides externally, also internally, he got both ways. Lord Chaitanya was his spiritual master, it appears, in this regard. So that's, and he was, even before, he was always, they were great scholars, Rupa and Sanatana Goswami. But he was empowered to write about rasa, rasa shastra, by Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So, and when you read Chaitanya Charitamrita, then you will find that what he learned in that time was Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, very much Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. So I would assume that he also learned this from Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. These were the things. He was a scholar before, but whether or not he learned all these things, it would seem to me that these technical things he learned from Lord Chaitanya, and he was able to write all these books by that empowerment. Lord Chaitanya was his spiritual master externally and internally. But yes, if they do exist, they may exist in theory in these other shastras. Yeah, so yes, they exist. They may exist in theory, but who is the example of these things? They may be able to do something in a drama, but actually, who is the embodiment of all these ecstasies and all these feelings? That is Srimati Radharani and Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So if you can read so many things and get a theoretical understanding, but if you want to see the actual thing in person, personification, then you have to study the life of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and then we can understand Radharani. She is the personification of all these things that you hear about in the shastras. Even one time I saw a newspaper, and it was talking about all these Sanchari Bhav and this thing, just in a mundane way, for materialistic people. And I thought, wow, this is really. So some knowledge might be there, but how are they using it? How are they applying it? So all these things, they cannot be used in a mundane way. It's not a mundane thing, but it's actually the highest love for Krishna. So in the dramas and things, something may be there, but actually it's a perverted reflection of the reality. So here we're hearing about the origin of all these things and the reality, and that is, they originate in Srimati Radharani. Any other questions? Okay, then forget it. we only like good questions. Any other questions or comments? Should I read one more verse or should I? Yeah, okay. One more verse and then we'll break. Verse number 14. So Radharani again is expressing her anger, and she will be angry for most of the verses, and then the bee will go away, and then she'll say, oh no, maybe the bee went and told Krishna what I was saying. And then when the bee comes back, then she's very humble and she changes her mood completely to sujalpa, very sweet words. But now she's doing all the argumentative words, and this is the mood of Srimati Radharani. She's a left-wing gopi and she's always arguing. So verse 14. Oh, bee, why do you sing here so much about the Lord of the Yadus in front of us homeless people? These topics are old news to us. Better you sing about that friend of Arjuna in front of his new girlfriends, the burning desire in whose breast he has now relieved. Those ladies will surely give you the charity you are begging. And so here she's chastising him. We don't want to hear it. We don't want to hear about him. She's really upset. Purport. With the words agrihanam agratona, Radharani laments that even though she and the other gopis gave up their homes to love Krishna in a conjugal relationship, the Lord left them and became a prince in the great royal city of the Yadus. So here she's contrasting their situation to his. Like, we are homeless. We are just wandering in the forest. And on the other hand, you're in a beautiful palace. And so look, so why should we want to hear about you? And you have all these other women in Mathura. She's imagining. Actually, he didn't have, but she's imagining. But and we are just helpless and homeless. Besides meaning Arjuna the victor, the word Vijaya also directly indicates Shri Krishna, who is always victorious in his endeavors. Besides meaning old news, the word Puranam also indicates that Shri Krishna is glorified in the ancient Vedic scriptures of that name. In this verse, we observe in Radharani's mood the seed of jealous anger, which arises from an apparent disdain for Krishna, accompanied by a sarcastic sidelong glance directed toward him. So not only is she speaking, she's giving the angry sidelong glance. This is Vijalpa, sarcastic speech that is addressed to the killer of Agha and that openly expresses jealousy while at the same time hinting at one's angry pride. Krishna book. You foolish bumblebee, you are trying to satisfy me and get a reward by singing the glories of Krishna, but it is a useless attempt. We gopis are bereft of all our possessions. We are away from our homes and families. We know very well about Krishna. We know even more than you. So whatever you make up about him will be old stories to us. Krishna is now in the city and is better known as the friend of Arjuna. He now has many new girlfriends who are no doubt very happy in his association because the lusty burning sensation of their breasts has been satisfied by Krishna. They are now happy. If you go there and glorify Krishna, they may be pleased to reward you. You're just trying to pacify me by your behavior as a flatterer. Therefore, you have put your head under my feet. But I know the trick you're trying to play. I know you are a messenger coming from an even greater trickster, Krishna. Therefore, please leave me. So homeless. And at this point, Uddhava is hearing everything, and the bumblebee is humming and singing, and Radharani is thinking the bumblebee is singing the glories of Krishna. And that's why she said, don't tell me about Krishna. And if you say, no, the bumblebee may say, it's my nature to sing, then I say, all right, very good, you may sing, but is there nothing else to sing about? You're singing about such a cruel, duplicitous person. Don't you know any other songs? And so she's imagining. I mean, the bee, well, he's just humming, and she's thinking he's telling her about Krishna. If you say, he's my master and I'm his servant, therefore I have to sing and glorify him, all right, then don't sing here. Go out. Go to Mathura. Go sing somewhere else. We don't want to hear it. Is there no other place in the world that you can go and sing? Why you have to come here and sing? So we are left alone, we're wandering, and your friend has such opulence, and we are homeless. Why are you coming here to glorify him? He's made us devoid of our homes, our beauty, our opulence. So why you want to come here? You should understand that we're in this condition only because of your friend. Now he's Ishvara, Lord of the Yadus, living in an opulent palace, and we're just wandering here in the forest. So don't sing here. Don't sing to us. And if you can't find a place, I'll tell you where to go. You go to Mathura. Go and sing there. They will be very happy to hear what you have to say. Our hearts are burning, and we have no homes, and we're feeling pain. So you don't know what to sing. You don't know the proper audience. You go. Speak somewhere else. Sing somewhere else. So Vijalpa. This is Radharani's, again, her angry mood. So she will be angry again for many, many verses. And in this anger, she's explaining her perception of Krishna, how they are seeing Krishna in their pain of separation. So questions on this verse or comments? Continuing Radharani's anger. And hopefully by the end of today's next class, she'll be pacified somewhat. No, she'll just get her anger out. Actually, no, she'll become a little pacified when the bee goes away. Then she'll change her mood to humility. Okay, well, glories to Srila Prabhupada.